Last Sunday was baptism of the Lord, and the story was from Luke's gospel, but I chose to use John's gospel and Matthew's gospel last week to share a different part of that. But today, of course, we're still in Luke's gospel, but I still like what's going on in John's gospel today, and I want to, and that's what we've shared here today, about coming and seeing and coming and being a part and where we are in that. Since how would your life be today? Would it be any different if you were not a Christian? For some of us who have lived surrounded by Christian people, it's hard to imagine. But what if you had no interest in God? There's lots of questions in today's sermon. How would your life be less or more or just the same? These questions are for you to think about, to ponder, to look at, to ask your own self, am I doing what I need to be doing? What would you miss about church? A friend of mine said he would never in his life again sing in public if it was not for church on Sunday morning. Which of your friends would not be your friends if you were not a Christian? If you had never met the people you have met in your Sunday school class, your Bible study class, sitting in the pew close to you, how great a loss would that be to you? How would your family change? How would you spend your time differently? Would you be home reading the paper this morning or scrolling through something on your phone? Would you be getting ready to watch a ball game or preparing lunch so you could be relaxed and ready just to do whatever you wanted to? What do you do because you're a Christian that makes you happy? Which religious activities could you do without? What would be easier if you weren't a Christian? Do you feel good about the time that you spend helping strangers? Do you wish you still had all the money that you've given away? Have there been experiences that you would hate to have missed? Things like hope-filled books that you were glad that you read, experiences of God's grace in worship, times you've cared for hurting people. If you were not a Christian, would your life be less interesting? Every once in a while, the disciples thought how different their lives would have been if they had never met Jesus. It started out so very quickly, and it started out quietly for them because they did not understand. They were beginning, they were wondering. John the Baptizer is standing with two of his own students, two of his own disciples, when Jesus walks by. And John says to them, that's the one. There he is, that's him. And he says to them, you know, I'm John. I can be kind of arrogant and cocky. And I'm not worthy though. I am not worthy to even bend down and to tie his sandals. And so these two disciples are curious. They're like, what's going on? They're a little nosy. They're wanting to know what's happening. They're like, who is this person then if John is not even worthy to bend down and tie his shoes? They start following Jesus. And Jesus turns and he asks them, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? And they answer kind of nervously, we thought we would see where you're going to stay, where you're staying at. In other words, we don't have a whole lot to do today, so we're just wondering what you're doing and we're just going to follow you around. So Jesus offers an invitation. He offers an invitation to them that is going to change their lives. And he just says to them, come. Come along with me. Come and see. Come follow me today. They stay with Jesus all day because he's interesting. They have no idea what they are getting themselves into. They don't know that they will end up leaving behind all these things. They're going to leave their nets, their boats, their homes, their families, their friends, their works, their retirements. They're going to leave it all. They will end up changing their ideas about almost everything that they believe in now. Andrew goes to get his brother. You have to come and see, he says. You've got to come and see this guy. So Simon is dragged along, going more so that his brother would just leave him alone than out of any great faith. When Jesus sees and meets Simon, he says to him, "Your name is going to be the Rock." Your name is changing, and the rock means Peter. Cephas, on this rock I will build my church. There's lots of things that we equate and can put with Simon Peter in the Bible. Things that he did. But right at the beginning, it was his brother Andrew who was called first. And then Andrew goes and gets his brother. It says you got to come and see because you're not going to believe it. You got to see what's happening. They were curious. The often confused Simon is anything but a rock. He is not a rock, but everything is starting to change in his life. And guess what? Something's going to happen. Most of the time, we move towards God in very small steps, taken out of curiosity more than out of faith. So what are we looking for? What are we looking for in worship today? Why did we come to church this morning? Some of us are here because, like those little people downstairs, because parents and grandparents did not give them a choice. For some of us, along the way, our mothers' voices ring in our ears and telling us to go to church. It's somewhere in our minds, somewhere that we can't get rid of, that we know we're supposed to get up. It might be your mom, your dad, your grandparents. Somebody always said it's time to go to church. Don't forget that. It's very important to be with people who believe kind of like you do, who worship kind of like you do, who pray for you, who lift you up, who are there for you. It's a good thing to go and be a part of that. That's why you might be here today. Some of us are here because it's easier to come than to argue with a husband or wife about it. Sometimes people have come to church for years by themselves because a husband or wife would not come. And sometimes they argue and a husband or wife said, "I'll just go to hush you up. I'll go." And guess what? All of a sudden something might actually happen in that place. Something might actually happen. You see, most of you all today did not come with the great expectations to happen today. You thought, "Well, I'll come. I'll go to my Sunday school class if I have time, if I get there on time. And I'll go to worship. And you know, the choir's going to sing something, and somebody's going to read something, and Vicky's going to talk to the kids, and you know, Melinda's going to say something. It might be interesting. It might not. You know." I might get it or I might not. I don't know. I've got an appointment. We're going to meet the family at lunch at a certain time. I've got to be at Grandma's house at a certain time. You know, there's all kinds of things that's going on in your mind. And you're like, "Well, you know, I've got so much to do today. I might not can make it." Some of you come flying in the door for Sunday school that starts at 10 o'clock at 10:15 and 10:30. Getting your children to places where lessons have already been taught and they have to be taught again. Some of you come sliding into worship. And it starts at 11. It's always started at 11. At 11, you come at 10:59. Afraid that if you get here any earlier, somebody might say something to you. Then again, you come in and some of you come sliding in at 11:05, 11:15. Because you don't want to hear all that mess to begin with. You just want to come. So we all come for different reasons. And some Sundays, with doing our very best and wanting to be here, we oversleep. Or we make a mistake, or something didn't go off, or we hit the button and we didn't even know we hit the button. And after a while, we wake up and we look at the clock and we're like, oh my Lord, what am I going to do? And then sometimes we look at it and say, oh, it's okay, I'll get it next week. It's all right. They're probably not going to do anything really important today. We're here for various reasons. Some of us want to come and camp because of a sickness or an illness, whatever it might be, but we don't always come with great expectations of something happening. You see, the religious reasons we have for being here are very mixed at best. We're interested in thinking about how we could live better lives, but only up to a point. We don't want people to go too far with telling us what we're not doing right or wrong, or what we might be doing, but we want to live better, but we want to do it up to a point. We don't want to go much further, because if we go much further, somebody might actually think that we're a little churchy, or a little religious, or too much Christian-y, or, you know, we might lose friends. If we're in worship today for no good reason, that's okay. Lots of people find their way to church and community by accident. They sometimes just walk in the door, and all of a sudden something happens to them, something changes. Jesus says to them and to you and to me today, come and see. The disciples stumble along, following without knowing where they are going. They are discovering well after the fact that they have wandered onto a path that leads to grace. Oh my, God's grace is always there. Come and see, Jesus says again. And in John's gospel, the disciples soon taste water turned into wine. They watch in horror as Jesus clears the temple. And they listen with amazement to Jesus' words to Nicodemus that the Spirit of God blows wherever it wills. They're going to begin to see and experience and be a witness to the most amazing miracles ever. They're going to be a part of it. They stumble onto a way of life that have never imagined in their whole life. What are we looking for today? Deep in our souls, we are looking for something to believe in and to hold on to. Something important enough to live for, and something big enough to claim our passions. We're looking for challenges and purpose. We are looking for God. What begins with curiosity becomes a step towards God's grace. The emptiness that you and I feel from time to time is God calling us to the paths that lead to meaning. You see, God lets us know that we can look beyond our computers and our coffee cups to the enchanted possibilities of grace. God is the one who makes us long for something that lasts. God draws towards us. He draws us towards that life even when we don't recognize what's happening. He's pulling us a little bit at a time, and we don't even know until all of a sudden, there we are. Come and see is how the disciples' story began. It has a wonderful line and a great way to start a story. Come and see. It's an invitation to explore, discover, and travel without knowing exactly where we are going, but to know that if we catch a glimpse of God, we will also catch a glimpse of who we can be. Come and see. Come and look for places where we've never been. Come and see what it means to hope, believe, and follow. You see, we are in church to open ourselves up to God, who will lead us to new places. The people who follow Jesus end up doing things that Jesus did. They care for the hurting. They listen to the lonely. They feed the hungry. They pray for the brokenhearted. They bandage the wounds of those who are wounded. They do more than is expected. They look for God and they find Him everywhere. They look for God and find the most extraordinary lives that they have ever lived. You see, the spirit of adventure is what calls us to worship. We come to seek the meaning of life. We join with people on a journey, and we ask God to help us to see where grace invites us. We are here to look at the gifts we've been given and the needs of the world around us. We have come to this place to discover the possibilities. If you and I worship God, if we share our lives with other people looking for God, we will see beyond what we have assumed. If we look for God, we will find that God is looking for us and He's offering life. You see, the God of all creation speaks to us all. Come and see. Come and taste. Come and hear. Come and believe. Come be a part of something that is life-changing. Come and see what God has done. Let us pray.